Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this wonderful day to come and worship you, not just as individuals, but as a community. Lord, we come to you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we would take on the mind of Christ. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Doug, if you want to go to... Thank you. Finding joy through our relationships. In the bulletin is a sheet. It's got a fill-in-the-blank side for sermon notes or some area that you can write some notes down as God speaks to you. On the back side are some weekly devotions, devotions to follow through the week. Take 5 or 10 minutes each morning to read through, or each evening to read through the devotions. And if you're listening online, there's a PDF file which will have the sermon notes and the devotions. Back in 1992, who remembers 1992? Yeah. Did you remember that in February of 1992, Tiger Woods, at the tender age of 16, becomes the youngest PGA golfer in the last 35 years. Do you remember that? Some yes, some no. Did you remember that the 25th Olympic Games began in Barcelona, Spain? Do you remember that? Okay, some yes, some no. Did you know that in September 3rd, Jerry Lewis had his 27th muscular dystrophy telethon? And he raised, do you remember how much? $45.7 million. $45.7 million. In 1978, the Pioneer Venus orbiter was launched to enter Venus's atmosphere and to record some data and send it back into Earth. Did you know in October of 1992, it stopped sending data and is presumed to have crashed into the planet? Did you remember that? Did you remember, last one, in October, a 28-pound meteorite lands in the driveway of the Knapp residence in Peekskill, New York, destroying the family's 1980 Chevrolet Malibu. Do you remember that? Man, your age is showing. These are just some of the events that occurred in 1992. And one last was a promotional ad for a drink called Gatorade. And it would hit the big time. It was called Be Like Mike campaign. And Mike, in this case, was the NBA all-world, all-player basketball player, Michael Jordan, that's right. And what strikes me about this one-minute ad was not the tremendous basketball shots that Jordan would make, although they were really cool. What struck me was the other people portrayed in the commercial who were playing basketball. There were young boys, there were young girls dribbling the ball, some making layups. In each case, they were focused on becoming like Mike, for the express purpose of becoming the next great basketball player. And of course, the ad was pointing out, to really be like Mike, you need to drink what? Gatorade, which is the real sell. Buy Gatorade, drink Gatorade. And in the commercial, these kids are drinking Gatorade so they can become like Mike. When I see something like this, it speaks to the very inmost desires that we all have, and we have these because we're human, and it's the need to be someone in the world where time is flying by, to be someone more than just a 9-digit social security number, to be someone who counts in life, someone who counts for something more than just taking up space. We all want to be important. Maybe not on a national stage, but we want to be important to others, to be able to contribute into the lives of others. No, we We can't all be like Mike, a famous basketball player, but can we be someone? At this point, Paul is writing to the Christians at the church at Philippi, a place that is a long, long way from here, a long time ago. But it doesn't matter because his instructions to them then are the same instructions that we need to hear today. To not only find joy in this journey, but to know how to become important, to be somebody. Let's look at what Paul has to say. Read it with me. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. You know what strikes me about this is the relational aspect of what Paul is writing. As if he is needing to remind us, the church, that it's not about being individual believers. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His unending love, if you have any common sharing in the Holy Spirit, you see, these are all based on a relationship with God, and you cannot have that encouragement, comfort, or sharing without being in that relationship with God. We have to note that it's as if too many Christians are unwilling to unite together, rather wanting independence from each other instead of interdependence upon one another. Paul goes on to say, then make my joy complete. Yet on some level, we're not doing this for Paul. Maybe we're really doing it for ourselves. And I hope for Pete's sake that you're doing it for God so that God gets the glory. And yes, we do want to do it so that we can experience more joy. So this isn't about making Paul's joy complete. This is about us experiencing more joy in our lives. And who doesn't want more joy? To live lives that are pleasing to God. And who doesn't want to please God? And really, by doing whatever Paul is suggesting, we can find meaning and purpose along with that joy. It's like the kids. Sometimes we need to follow others' examples. And then read the book. How, he says. He starts out this way in the next verse. Read it with me. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You see, you really can't become like Mike unless you drink Gatorade. I mean, you really can't become like Jesus without drinking Gatorade. I mean, if it was only that easy, right? Drink a drink, become like Christ. But Paul begins to sum up some of the ideals we need to strive for, not in order to find notoriety, but to find joy and meaning. Being like-minded with Christ, having the same love as Jesus, sharing in the same Spirit. That's becoming interdependent with Christ. In the Gatorade ad, to be like Mike meant more than just drinking Gatorade. It was the willingness to go out, to dribble, to shoot, to play with others. As Christians, we have to note that we have to unite with Jesus, which means we have to unite with one another. Therefore, Paul confirms, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Boy, is that an independent thought? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Selfish ambition, even in the little things, creates chaos within the group, the people around us. How can I get ahead thinking leads to individualism and does not produce unity or interdependence upon one another? And if we were all to embrace these ideals, like-minded, the same love, which is an unconditional, selfless love, being in the same Spirit, if we were all to embrace these ideals, we'd be nothing. If we did nothing out of selfish ambitions, we'd be a force to be reckoned with. We'd be an all-world team. Or maybe better stated, we'd be an out-of-this-world team. we'd find meaning and joy in the everydayness of life. And those we came in contact with, well, we'd touch their lives for Christ too. That's the idea of the cornhole event for next week, is to bring people together to be interdependent upon one another, to rub shoulders so that other people might see Christ in us. I better win. Boy, is that a selfish thought? Selfish ambition and vain conceit. Paul goes on to use what I think is the key word to describe all of these words, these ideals, in one broad stroke, which leads to what we really need. Read it with me. Rather, in humility, not looking to your own interests, but humility. That's that one word that, and the Greek carries this idea, having a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's own littleness. I love this one, modesty, lowliness of mind. In humility, valuing others above yourself. It's not to make yourself inferior, but having the understanding that you're a child of the King. You are a child of the King, knowing that you have nothing to prove, as you are in the best place you can ever be. So look to the interest of others, which is not easily accomplished by some. Realize, my friends, we were all born with this "take care of me first" attitude, as we're all dependent upon others to live when we come out into this world. And that attitude will continue unless you are taught that you are not the center of the universe. And that's what Paul is teaching us. We're not the center of the universe. We're not the end all. We're not the cat's meow. But I know who is. As Christians, we know Jesus is the center. We know that Jesus is the end all. We know that Jesus is the cat's meow. And Paul is trying to drive that home for us, that it's in a relationship with Jesus where we will find meaning and purpose and joy. For Paul, Jesus is the example we are to follow. Why? So not only we can find purpose and meaning, but so that we can experience more joy, so that we can become like-minded. But there's a catch. Paul's going to lay it on us. You see, we need to note that Paul gives us a key to finding meaning and joy, comma. It is to find unity in all our relationships. It's to find unity in all of our relationships with each other and with God. Paul says it this way, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And I have to note here, Paul isn't saying have a similar mindset. He's not saying have this mindset that's impossible to reach. No, Paul is saying have the same mindset as Jesus, which is, ready? It's an obtainable goal. It's an obtainable goal. Therefore, it's one we should always strive for. Strive for every day, sometimes every moment of the day. We have to note that having the same mindset of Jesus is our goal. Having the same mindset of Jesus is our goal, and it is obtainable. Now, with Michael Jordan, we must admit we are probably all past our prime. Well, Lauren's not. She's got prime to go. But the rest of us? North of 29, 30, yeah. Most of us, we were never tall enough anyway. We were never fast enough. We couldn't jump high enough, even to be close to a Michael Jordan. And we think of Michael Jordan as being the best player, but you know what? Some kid's going to come along in the future and he's going to best what Michael Jordan did. Do you think, though, you could have the same mindset as Jesus? Sure, we're imperfect beings, but having the proper mindset will help us to set our course to being more like Christ, instead of being aimless with no goal at all. Here's how Paul wrote about Jesus' mindset, a mindset that he encourages the Philippians to adopt. Read it with me. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And it goes on to say, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Look at those words. Jesus was everything, creator of all that is, seen and unseen. Yet as a man, he didn't pull out the God card. He didn't pull out that card at any point in time. Even though one time he said, I could call down the angels and they would take care of me. But he did not pull that card out. Rather, he made himself what? What does it say? He made himself nothing. Nothing. Not a nobody. Look, he took on the role of a servant. To whom? To God. To others. He was a servant to God and to others. And note, if Jesus was willing to take on the role of a servant, shouldn't we? Yes, Pastor. For what purpose, though? Why should we take on the role of a servant? Though it's not stated here directly, he did it for you and me so that we might find ourselves in a relationship with him. That we might find ourselves eternally with him. That we might find joy and purpose and meaning in this life now. You see, to be a servant is to seek to help others to be in a relationship with Jesus. That's the bottom line. To be a servant is to seek to help others to be in a relationship with Jesus. And then there's that word. He humbled himself. He humbled himself to the will of God the Father. So that death would be conquered. So that there could be meaning in life. So that we could experience freedom from sin and death now. Now. For all this, for you and for me. For the people who live near us or around us. So that we could experience more joy, both in the midst of the chaos, or better yet said, more joy despite the chaos that we experience in life. I was talking to a person this week who has been working with someone else via FaceTime. And this person said to me that the person they were working with said, now this is all over FaceTime, so they never met physically. You're a Christian, aren't you? Even though the subject had never come up in any of their time that they had been working together. But it's because of a mindset. It's the willingness to be a servant. It becomes evident to others that something is different. You are not following the me first pattern of this world. You're following the pattern set by Christ. Humbling yourself. Becoming a servant. Here's what it resulted in. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every knee. So whether you believe in Christ or not, we're all going to bow down. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we truly humble ourselves, God will lift us up. We might not become a Michael Jordan for all the world to see, but in the lives of others, we might become a key. We might become a key to their salvation, their coming to Jesus, their avenue to finding joy in this lifetime and in the life to come. Because we were willing to become a servant, a true servant of the Lord Most High, and a servant to each other, being interdependent upon one another. You see, we have to note that what more joy can we experience than to know God has used us? What more joy could you experience in knowing that God has used us to help others in their eternal adventure? And too many people don't think there's an eternal adventure. But there is. Who are those people in your life that God wants you to help into eternity? By your willingness to serve them, to humble yourself, I would challenge you to write them down. There's some room at the bottom. How can I become more of a servant in attitude and action? How can you become? What are you doing now that is elevating yourself? Self-elevation. That's not very humble. What are those things that you're doing that you need to maybe stop doing? That the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, that attitude really stinks. And the second question, for whom do I need to become more like a servant? There are people that you run into contact with or you come into contact with during the course of the week. Who do I need to become a little bit more like Christ? Become more like a servant. You know, you might not make some splash in a way to make a national list or a Michigan event in any particular year, whether it's 1992 or 2018. But I promise you'll make plenty of personal lists if you truly set your mind to that of Christ, humbling yourself to be a servant to all. I promise you'll experience more joy in helping others than you will ever striving to elevate yourself. Listen again to Paul's words, or not even again, because these didn't get read yet. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work it out. It's a work in progress with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Maybe those are some of the servant attitudes that we need to stop. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you firmly hold to the word of life. God's going to use you. I know that. So be the best servant. Be the most humble person you can become. And be like Christ. Now. Don't wait for tomorrow. I know God's speaking to you. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for Paul and for all that he has written and how his word is still true today. That we need to let go of this world. We need to become more like Christ. Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning that we might become more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said,